Hello and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank, a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana, and hosting today's podcast. Today, our guest is Katie Wickman, Sustainability Manager at Advocate Healthcare in Illinois. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, let's get started. Tell us about yourself, particularly how did you get to be a nurse, and then go ahead and explain how you got to be in your current role.
Yeah, sure. So I learned about the nursing world in my volunteer year after college. I was a biology major in college and knew I wanted to do probably something in the health field, but then ended up doing a volunteer year with the Colorado Vincentian Volunteers out in Denver. And during my placement there, got to see nurses in so many different roles in the community and in the community health settings and hospital settings, and thought, gee, even if I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with my life, I knew that nursing could get me there, and offered so many different options. So after that year, went back to nursing school in a grad program and finished that and did some bedside nursing and on a telemetry floor for a few years before transitioning into the infection prevention role. And during both of my staff nurse time and in infection prevention, I was always dabbling in environmental stewardship or green team work. Back on at my staff nurse role, I spent some time, looking at what we were doing every day and trying to find ways that we could be better stewards of our resources. So I set up a recycling program for our batteries. I worked on a telemetry unit, so we had those telepacks and they went through 9-volt batteries very quickly. And so finding a better way for us to dispose of them was important to me. So kind of just worked on that and started that program for my department. Worked on, fall signs so that we could reuse them versus having to start over at each discharge and admission. And eventually, when I transitioned into my role in infection prevention and control, the position allowed me to have just a little bit more margin for me to get a little bit further involved in hospital, wider hospital environmental stewardship issues. And so I ended up leading the green team at my hospital there, starting a clinical item recycling program, tried to do some employee engagement activities, and got connected with our system-based environmental stewardship leader, which is my director now, Mary Larson. And eventually a position opened up for someone to join the team for environmental stewardship at Advocate. And I was in the lucky place at the right time to be considered and was able to transition over to a full-time role in thinking about how, as a healthcare system, we can reduce our environmental impacts and create a more positive, I would say, impact on our communities in the when we think about the environment and environmental stewardship. So it's been a really fun career for me so far, and I find vocationally that it fits me really well, being able to work in a healthcare system and have that background of nursing and have that background of clinical knowledge, and then also be able to work on kind of the wider issues and how our clinical practice impacts health in the various ways that we don't necessarily think about when we're at the bedside. So
that's cool. You also have the background of biology, which
I do.
And that might help.
I've forgotten a lot of since my undergrad years, but absolutely. I think having a little bit more of the hard science background allows some of the sustainability issues to come a little bit easier for me for understanding, though I don't think in my role it doesn't require me to necessarily know the specifics of climate change or like the science, like the hard science behind some of this, as long as I can kind of get into that second role of like, how does that hard science inform our practice, and kind of making those connections, I think is where I can excel with that background. So
cool. So for other nurses who may be interested in a similar career path, can you just tell us how long that was over time from your first role as a telemetry nurse to
probably about 10 years. So I don't think it necessarily has to go that way in any way. I feel like sustainability roles in healthcare are pretty unique, in which they can, you could be a sustainability trained person and have a degree in sustainability and have to learn healthcare. Or you could be a healthcare person, whether a nurse or another person in the healthcare world and have a keen understanding of healthcare, and then learn a little bit more about sustainability. For me, it was about using my passion and my interest to get involved at the hospital level, and through volunteerism and connecting in that little bit of time that I had, kind of got me connected, and then was able to build relationships and learn about my system and how it worked and what opportunities were available to me. From a timing perspective, I was maybe about 3 years at the bedside, and then did 7 years in infection control before taking this position.
Cool. So a couple of thoughts that I'm really curious about because of your role as a nurse. One is, how much would you say of your current role is focused on clinical practice?
Not a lot. I would say that I've had a stint of it with my work with the anesthetic gases and the environmental impacts of anesthetic gases. And, you know, that would be educating anesthesiologists or nurse anesthetists. I would say that I get involved in clinical space when we work on waste reduction strategies. So whether that is trying to figure out whether clinical item recycling or, other types of plastics recycling or waste reduction is appropriate and how that would work is when I get involved in some of the clinical stuff. But a lot of my work is also based in operations, whether that's working with EVS or food and nutrition, all those other ancillary and support services that really help us care for our patients in the best way we can. So I would say that it's a little bit of both, but though I don't necessarily get too involved in clinical practice at this point.
Well, it seems like your infection prevention background would be really helpful. I know that that's one of the places where all of our decisions in my role, which is a little bit similar to yours, they all go through infection prevention screening, basically, especially anything related to the nursing units that has to do with waste or even with chemicals or with disposables. So have you been able to blend those two together? I would think it would be really helpful to have that background.
Yeah, it has been really helpful. I actually find that has been probably the place of most success for me as a sustainability manager so far in my career, is in that sense of in the chemicals and the intersection of infection prevention and environmental stewardship. I think the first main topic that I got involved in back when I was an infection preventionist besides clinical item recycling was antimicrobial stewardship. I had the opportunity to go to a CleanMed conference as part of my role as the green team leader, and heard a presentation, I think by Aparna Bol, about the overuse of antibiotics in agriculture and how the levels of antibiotics that are being used in animal husbandry and compared to human medicine. And I was already sitting on our hospital's antimicrobial stewardship committee. And I thought, oh my, this is a topic that where infection prevention and environmental stewardship really are talking the same language. Because I found a lot of the time, infection prevention and environmental stewardship sometimes would butt heads. You know, they would conflict the idea of single-use devices and infection prevention and disinfection and a lot of those conflicting issues that sometimes I couldn't always 100% support one way or the other. But I felt like that was actually a benefit to me because I could always kind of work on finding that middle ground and that balance. First and foremost, you know, healthcare systems, I know Advocate is, you know, a safe clinical enterprise. And so making sure that patient safety is our, you know, number one priority, but also working on finding that balance of, well, what can we do in the environment that we work in? So getting back to that antimicrobial stewardship story, I came back after CleanMed and brought up the topic to our antimicrobial stewardship committee. And they were also surprised at the facts that I had learned at the conference. And together we drafted a clinical recommendation for our health system to move toward purchasing meat raised without antibiotics. So over the course of the next number of months, it went through our site-based committees and then a system-based committee and was supported by our environmental stewardship committee. We were able to start making a change in our purchasing to help support a wider, more comprehensive view of antimicrobial stewardship. So while we were working super hard at the bedside, that we were also working hard in the food and nutrition world as well. That's so that was really great. Yeah. And then, moving on from there, I worked on antimicrobial additives and furniture, as well as working on taking a look at our soap and the antimicrobials used in our hand soap. So those were some of the areas where I felt like I could use both my relationships that I had forged in infection prevention for those number of years, as well as my background and knowledge there, to really kind of come up with an evidence-based guideline of where we could move forward and be, better stewards of our resources and safe at the same time.
Very cool. I have a question for you, a technical question. We are looking currently at moving away from daily linen changes for those patients who are appropriate, but there's not much in the literature about the infection safety of that. Do you have any experience with that?
Are you referring to like bed linen?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of knowledge of what's in the literature about linen changes. I know a number of our hospitals have worked on going to either an every other day type of structure for changing linens or an as needed structure. So I don't have tons of information on that. But I do think that a lot of hospitals are working on reducing their linen usage and making sure that patients are still in a clean and safe environment. But it doesn't take long for a patient's microbiome to kind of populate their area. So, I don't necessarily know if daily changes will affect that too much, especially if you know that you have those structures of hand hygiene and cleaning in place to help, not their microbiome, but other types of bacteria, coming in to their environment. I don't really know for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be a great area for research, though that's going to cost some money because we'd want to do microbial count. But if you have successful case studies, that would be helpful in the literature as well. We found a few in California and another one in Pennsylvania with some reporting. Because, I think you're right. A lot of places are trying to work on this because of the amount of clean linen that's washed. And also just the amount of linen, which is, of course, has its impacts. Anyway, thanks for giving me your input on that.
And I wanted
to go back to something else you said, and that tell us more about your work with anesthetic gases.
Yeah, so another great topic that I think relates really well with our focus on changing climate. But I've been learning a lot about the environmental impact of anesthetics from our, partners and experts in the area. And my role was really to look at, after learning about the topic, was to look at our usage throughout our different hospitals. And Advocate Healthcare is a 12 hospital system. And so we've looked at each of the purchasing patterns of the different anesthetics available took a look at the variation in practice among the different hospitals. And so my understanding is that in most cases, the anesthetic agents are pretty much clinically equivalent and that can get the job done with in a safe manner. And so we kind of took a look at our patient populations and tried to determine if, there was really a clinical reason that one drug would be used more at one hospital than another hospital. And from our data and the research that we did, we didn't necessarily think that that was the case. And so then we approached our anesthesiology team and with the information about the environmental impact of anesthetic agents and with the information that we had gathered so far about their usage. And through that came up with the anesthesiologist took that information back and created a subcommittee for a recommendation to move that when everything is clinically equivalent to use the less harmful anesthetic agent or the anesthetic agent with the lesser environmental impact. So it was a really interesting, it's still ongoing, but a really interesting exercise. And I think is one of those topics that I think is really cool in healthcare and environmental stewardship in healthcare, where just one or two actions can create such a big difference in the impacts that they make. And I kind of talk about how, you know, if you're going to work, that at an anesthesiologist, all things being clinically relevant, they can either choose to do their work driving a Tesla or like driving a semi. And you know, if they have a choice, that maybe they would choose the Tesla. So that is kind of where we are now. And we've had some really good successes in the first few months of the year, where a couple of our hospitals have reduced their environmental impact of their anesthetic gases, their greenhouse gas emissions from their anesthetic gases by almost 90%, just through education, which is really great. So we've got a ways to go in other areas and some of the other hospitals, but we've made some really great strides and are able to kind of feed that information back of what we see from the purchasing patterns and really kind of showcase those anesthesiologists and nurse anesthetists that are making some really cool changes in their practice.
And I bet that saves some money.
It does save some money. You know, we are leading with the environmental aspects and impacts, but it does. Generally, you have to use a lot more of the more harmful drug to get the same clinical equivalency, you know, to do the same type of anesthetic effect. And so if you can use less of the other drug, and if it happens to be cheaper, it does have a really great impact, which is helpful. Especially when you are, you know, talking with administration. So
great work.
It is definitely a win-win. Yeah, absolutely. Making healthcare more affordable and better for the environment.
Yeah, cool. I wanted to ask also, you're in a 12 hospital system. I know you said you work for Mary Larson, who's wonderful. And,
yes.
And I wondered, are you the only nurse in her division?
I am.
Uh-huh.
It's a small division, so it's Mary and me in our division. And I think that, you know, as I said before, I think that a role of sustainability in a healthcare system can be filled by a number of different folks. And nursing is not necessarily a requirement, but it has provided me a lot of, I think, credibility and relevance when I speak to the clinicians about their impacts and about what they can do to help make their workplace greener and make their clinical practice more environmentally friendly. So it absolutely helps me for sure. I don't necessarily feel, again, that it's required. There's a lot of people who don't have a nursing background that do excellent work, but especially in the areas of if you have like a clinical expertise, whether that's infection prevention or surgery or something else, that can be extremely helpful because your workforce is made up of a majority of clinicians that are nurses, and being able to have that camaraderie and also the background and skill set of a nurse, I think can be kind of uniquely position you to excel in the role.
I also feel like it offers the, as you say, the credibility to, in particular, to draw the links, connect the dots to health impacts.
So, absolutely.
Do you end up doing that a lot?
I do. I would say that most of the work that we focus on is issues that will have an actual like health impact on our patients and our communities, or that could. So every time that I talk to somebody, I'm talking about not just how it affects our environment, but then how our environment affects our health. And so when especially in topics of chemicals or of climate and emissions or of particulate matter or air pollution, all of those types of things, they're always connected back to the health of our patients and how the health of our, you know, the health of our environment affects the health of our patients, and thinking upstream about how we can better serve our patients and our communities. Absolutely.
Do you find that that's usually pretty well received?
Absolutely well received. In fact, I wish we would be able to speak to it better for all of the different topics that we work on, to be able to talk about the health impacts that and how our reductions in whether that's waste or greenhouse gas emissions or any of those impacts that we could have a better tool to be able to find, like to be able to say, wow, this reduction has helped our patients in this specific way. My understanding is we don't have a great tool to do that for many of the different topics that the issues that we work on, but we can always kind of extrapolate that idea, right? Of as we clean up our waste or reduce our waste, it could help reduce this type of potential disease or potential issue in the environment. And I think just the idea of always reminding everyone that everything is connected, right? That we know, and we're seeing more and more in the literature about how different things that we didn't think were connected are connected, right? Even like regular human health, like our microbiomes and mental health, or, you know, like I was just read an article about how increasing temperatures are affecting antimicrobial resistance. Like, these are connections that we hadn't made before, and that as we pull levers in the environment or impact our world, that there will be effects, and that they will have effects on human health. So always making those connections helps, and I think is one of the most important connections to make when you're talking to healthcare workers.
Yeah, I agree. That was well said. So you've been working with environment for a while, from your first degree through today, and you've also been in healthcare for a while and focusing on health. Mm-hmm. So what is your biggest concern right now about environment and health, or yeah, concerns?
I would say my top two are chemicals and climate. I think I'm concerned about chemicals just because we have so many, and that we don't do a great job of the research of what could be the human health and environmental health impacts of them before putting them into the world, basically, or into our products or into our environment. And so I think the idea that I just mentioned about everything being connected, that we often are not thinking into the future very much and thinking about what those impacts could be. And so I think that we're going to find more and more that the chemicals that we use are not helpful to us, or have affected us in different ways. So that's a concern of mine that I try to focus on when doing, especially some of the chemical work and safer chemical work in my role today. And then I think climate, a lot of us have heard that people say climate change is the, you know, number one public health issue of the 21st century, and the opportunity. And I think it concerns me a lot because it's so big and so global, and that the effects will be, and in many ways are already, significant. And I think what's most concerning is that we still have quite a long ways to go, in my opinion, to help us to for us all to get on board and to have a global understanding and action plan to make sure that our changing climate is, mitigated in ways that we can, and that we can, be ready for how those changes are going to affect our health and our living. So, but keeping it positive, I think that it's a really great opportunity moving forward. And I think we've already seen so many great organizations, so many great actions that have occurred, and need to keep working toward a healthier climate and a healthier world for all of us. So
what if you, thank you. And that's really helpful to have it spelled out. So with those two in mind, particularly, what would you say to nurses?
Well, I think I would say, look upstream would be one of the things that I would say to nurses, is that I think that we already see the impacts chemical usage and of climate change in our beds and in our patients that come to see us in outpatient settings and things like that. And so we, I think, do a great job as nurses in general to kind of look at the patient pretty holistically. And I feel like drawing that circle even wider and looking more upstream will help us be able to rise to the challenges of figuring out how to impact our communities and lessen the disease burden of both of those topics. I think the other thing that I would say to nurses is that I think we're really pretty uniquely positioned to be leaders in environmental stewardship and sustainability. And I think it's a combination of the fact that we are pretty big experts in health, and that we see the effects of environmental health issues every day. So it's personal to us. I think it's because we are trusted professionals in the world, and that we look for evidence and we practice by evidence-based medicine. And I think we really oftentimes have this skill set that helps break down barriers. And, you know, from our work in the clinical space, you know, our ability to listen and to empathize and to tailor our message to our patient can really be translated into ways that we can also talk with our neighbors and talk with our communities about some of the aspects that are, you know, putting patients in our healthcare system today. And I think being able to, again, have that understanding of looking at people and systems in a holistic way and seeing that larger picture and going about things like in a caring way. I think that we are really uniquely positioned to make a big impact on how people care for the world, care for the earth, and then obviously caring for each other.
Nice. That was beautifully said.
I do really think that we really have a unique position, and a lot of times we spend so much of our day just doing our daily work, but I think that we really have a great skill set to be able to translate that work into action in our communities, and that we're great. I think that we are great messengers for healthier world.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, boy, that's such a nice way to end. I think that's a good wrap up. Is there anything else that you'd like to add today, Katie?
You know, like, I think that sometimes things can feel very dire, and that there is sometimes a lot of bad news, and it feels so big. And I guess I would just encourage folks to surround yourself with folks who have a similar passion and find inspiration and energy in one another in order to keep going. And all together, all of our little actions, I think, can impact and make big actions together. So I would say don't give up, and let's do this.
Nice. Great. Well, thank you so much, Katie, for joining me today on the podcast. And thank you all for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out at environ.org. And please leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks a lot, and talk to you next time.